learned about the first commandment, that there is only one God, and God does not like to be compared to other gods. God does not want to be put second place to anything in our lives. And this week, we continue in that vein with the second commandment. Now, I invite you to come with me in the scripture to find the Ten Commandments. You can look in Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5, and you will find the Ten Commandments. I invite you to stand with me as we go to the scripture. And for the commandment for Exodus, I invite you to say these words with me and allow them to sink into your hearts this morning. Let's say this together. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now listen to these words from the Gospel of John. You don't have to say these with me. Just listen for the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. Lord, we lift up these words to you and you alone. May you be glorified by all that is said in this time, for it is your time. Use it in spite of me, around me, because of me, whatever it takes to let your word be proclaimed here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we come to this second commandment on idolatry. And it's mislabeled on the Ten Commandments on the screen. Up here it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, but we're going to do that as commandment three. Idols in the ancient Israelite time were seen as a threat to true worship of God. True worship of God. It doesn't take long after this commandment is given for the Israelite people to turn right around and do exactly what this commandment says not to do. They go to Aaron and they say, Aaron, Moses has been up there on that mountain for an awfully long time. Maybe he's not coming back. And what we'd like to do is we'd like to worship God, and so could you build us an idol? And Aaron, afraid of that crowd, says, oh, sure. And he builds an idol, a bull, a calf. And you may wonder, why on earth a bull? Why a calf? Why would that be the idol? And then Aaron says, behold, here's your gods. Here they are, worship this golden calf. We know that when Moses comes back, he's not too pleased, and he's not pleased because God is not pleased. And Moses, in the movie, I love it, he takes the Ten Commandments and he throws them at the idol, which of course bursts into flames, opens up the ground, and swallows all the Israelites whole. Well, that's not exactly how it happens in Scripture. Moses takes the tablets and does break them, but he throws them on the ground. And he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. and some of the people come. And then Moses says to the Levites, now those who worship the idol, have them killed. And so the Israelites go through and they mercilessly slay the people who were worshiping the idol. It's a brutal scene. It's meant to shock. It's meant to scare. Because it's meant to tell us the seriousness with which God takes being compared to anything that God has made. And comparing God to an idol that's made with human hands is an insult. It's an insult to God. You're comparing the creator of the universe who makes stars the way we make pictures on a page. You're comparing the Almighty to something that the Almighty made. What an insult that is. And the Israelites chose a bull because they thought that that idol represented God. They weren't worshiping some other deity like Zeus or Baal. They thought when they were making this idol of gold, this bull, that they were making an image to represent their God, the very God who led them out of Egypt. Aaron doesn't say, here's some other God to worship. He says, here's God. God's represented in this bull, a fertility God. A fertility God. And we see throughout Genesis stories of God indeed blessing barren women with children. Women who would have been beyond the age of motherhood, who were suddenly blessed with a baby. Mothers who were desperate, pleading with God for a child, suddenly are blessed with a child. So the people of Israel are thinking, you know what? This God of ours, he's kind of like Baal, who is a fertility god, and the god of storms. When you see an idol of Baal, you'll see him with his arm like this, and there would be a thunderbolt in his hand, because Baal was their god of storms and their god of fertility. God says, how dare you? How dare you compare me to works that I've made? How dare you compare me to works of the imagination? I take this so seriously, says God, that when you bow down to these things that you've made, not only is that crime infecting your life, you are infecting the lives of your children and your grandchildren with this same sin. Because we know, don't we, that sometimes sin seems to go from one generation to the next. Though sometimes a person who is abused can become an abuser. Someone who is the child of an alcoholic has a stronger possibility that they too might become an alcoholic. There are generational kinds of sins. And that's not God coming down and saying, aha, with the lightning bolt, you've already had a bad life. Now let me strike you with something else. It's simply the fact that parents or children see what parents do. And those minds, I don't know where he gets the idea to go play the piano, but sure enough. But he watches me. I know he watches me. I know all the children. You watch your parents. You watch those who are parental figures in your lives. And you do the things that your parents do. And God is saying this sin of idolatry is so dangerous because it will infect your children. It will infect your grandchildren. It will spread through your kingdom. And we see that take place as we leave the wilderness and we go into the promised land in the scriptures. What do we find? Israel is constantly in a battle to get rid of their idols. They keep coming back. No matter how thoroughly someone in scripture will come along and wipe out all of the idols, smash their altars, destroy those idols, break them down, another one will pop up here. And they'll go over there and they'll smash that idol and they'll break it down. And another one will pop up over here. And over here, it's a dangerous, infectious sin. And so God says, don't even make an image. Don't even start. Because I know you, and I know the kind of people that you are. And when you build these things, before too long, you'll worship them. Jesus walks through the temple, made with human hands, and the disciples are all impressed. Wow, look at this place. We made this for God. Isn't this amazing? Look at the craftsmanship on the walls. Look at the amazing things that take place here. And what does Jesus say? Tear it down. In 3 days, I'll rebuild it. Now, we know that he was speaking of his own body, but does Jesus get impressed by the things that humans make? Absolutely not. Jesus is impressed more with faith. Faith that says, I will get out of the boat and I will walk on this water. Faith that says, I know Jesus, therefore I know God the Father. Faith that says, I want to get rid of all the idols in my life. Idolatry, idols themselves, are mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. And the Israelite people come to understand that these things that are made, there's no gods behind those. They're just things. And when they break them, they're not doing any damage to a god. They're just breaking something that somebody made. But by the time we reach the New Testament, idolatry has changed. Idolatry is not mentioned one time in the Gospels. I know because I looked, because I wanted a really good passage to read for today. It's not there. Because people have come to understand that, yeah, there's no God behind that statue. In fact, Paul says that even food that's been sacrificed to an idol, a Christian could eat. Because there's nothing behind the idol. So something being sacrificed to that idol doesn't mean anything. A Christian could just pick that up and eat it right off of that altar. It means nothing. Because God is the only God, the one true God. Idolatry, I've been a Christian for a very long time, and I've heard a lot of sermons on idolatry, and they always end up something like this. Idolatry that we have nowadays is, you know, stuff like this, or that reflection in the mirror. Now that's the idol. The worship of money, the worship of the television. Those are all the sermons that I've heard over the years, and they're right. These things can become idols, things that we invest our worship in, our hope in, where our worship is only due to God. But take a close look at that passage in Exodus again. And see that the people who were worshiping that calf didn't think they were doing anything wrong. Because they thought that that idol was representing God. Their God, not some other God, representing their God. And I think there is a danger that of idolatry that slips through the cracks. And it's that our worship can be worship of idolatry. What do I mean by that? I mean that we can make that worship about all sorts of other things, thinking that we are really worshiping God. But in actuality, maybe we're worshiping ourselves. Maybe we want to have things our way, and rather than submit ourselves completely to God's will, it's a dangerous sin. It is a sin that infects churches, infects good Christian believers. Jesus put it this way. There are some who will come before me and say, Lord, didn't we do great things in your name? And Jesus will say, I don't even know who you are. Get away from me. I don't know you. I certainly don't want that to happen for any of us who are sitting here. I don't want that to happen to anyone. And so take a good, strong, and long look at your worship. Does it come in second? Does the worship of God come in second to anything in your life? especially that idol in the mirror. And if it does, then confess that. Ask God to break that sin, break the chain in your life, so that it won't infect the next generation. Be willing to be totally honest with God. Say, God, I want to worship you and you alone completely, and I don't want anything in the way. Will you help me to have a clean heart? Will you help me to give because I want to serve you and not because I want to serve, you know, my reputation or people? Allow God to do some serious cleaning in your life, to get rid of all the idols, to smash them all, because it's so easy for another one to pop up every time those idols are destroyed. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.